Hey, everyone, and welcome to Northwoods. I'm Jason Lee, the pastor for Northwoods Online, and I'm so glad to have you join us for this weekend. And in fact, I'm glad to be the first here at Northwoods to wish you a Happy New Year. Hey, I hope you've had a couple great weeks of celebrating Christmas and maybe watching some college football games and ringing in the new year with your family and friends. And we're so glad to have you join us for this weekend service. If you're new to Northwoods Online, say hello in the chat. Let us know where you're tuning in from. If you join us every weekend, we'd love to say hello again and Happy New Year to you. So hop in the chat and say hello and let us know where you're tuning in from. Well, today I wanted to give you a couple details about the service. We're going to have communion here later in the service. And if you're a believer in Jesus, then we'd love for you to participate in communion. So grab some bread and some juice, and Pastor Cal will lead us in that later on into today's service. Well, we're getting ready to start the 21-day fast, and there's some great resources in the mobile app. You can find that in your app store on Apple or Android by searching for Northwoods Church, and there's a devotion guide, there's videos, there's Pastor Cal's 21 teachings for the 21 days. I know that you're going to use that resource, and it's going to be helpful to you, so check that out. Pastor Cal is teaching today, continuing our series Launch Time, and he's talking about taking the faith to the next level. But before we get to that, Nathan and the band are going to lead us in a song that's newer to us, so turn up those speakers and sing out loud, because Northwoods Online starts right now.
Well, good morning, church. Happy New Year. Are you glad to be in the house of God again? Come on, stand up to your feet. Let's give God the praise and worship He's worthy of. This is the day that You have made. Whatever comes, I won't complain, for all my hope is in Your name, and now Your joy awaits my praise. I give thanks for all You have done, and I will sing of Your mercy and Your love. Your love is unfailing, Lord, I am grateful. You brought me out, it set my feet on higher ground. So here I stand, You are my God, Your faithfulness, my solid rock. Oh, I give thanks for all You have done, and I will sing of Your mercy and Your love. Your love come on, let's lift our hands. And as we lift our hands, the heavens open, heavens open. So let our lives declare the love our God has spoken over us. And as we lift our hands, heavens up, yes, Lord. So let our lives declare the love our God has spoken over us. We bless Your name, Jesus. I give thanks for all. All the battles You have won, Your love is unfailing.
yes, Lord. Let's sing that together.
Oh, victory, you have won. Victorious, you have come. What was stolen, you brought back to
that our God is a champion, that our God comes through, that he is faithful. You know, I'm thankful that I don't have to rely on my own strength or my own ability to change a circumstance or a situation, because I know that God is in control. I can depend on him. And I think throughout scripture, if there's anybody who can give us a really great example of what it looks like and what it means to depend on the Lord to be his champion, it's the prophet Elijah. And in 1 Kings 17 and 18, I'd encourage everybody here to go home and read it, because there's this encounter that will really fire you up about the kind of champion that our God really is. And I'm just going to give you a very short version of what happens. But Elijah is there, and the Lord comes and speaks to him. And he said, Elijah, I want you to tell the king that there's going to be a drought in the land for several years. There will be no rain. And so, you see, Israel had turned their back on God, and the king was wicked. And so Elijah took the message, and he said, there's going to be a drought. And sure enough, 1 year passes, no rain. 2 years, no rain. And the Bible says that sometime in the third year, the Lord spoke to Elijah again. So imagine that. We're almost 3 years, no rain. And he says, okay, Elijah, I'm going to send rain, and I want you to tell the king. So he goes, he delivers the message. And before God sends the rain, there's this incredible showdown that happens between Elijah, the prophet of God, and these 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah basically says, God, I need you. I need you to show up, and I need you to prove once and for all that you are God. I need you to come through. He says, come through on my behalf, but come through for your glory. And that's how God works. And so after this, this is the part I want you to read on your own, but the bottom line is that God does show up in an incredible way. And the people acknowledge that he is the Lord, that he is the true God. And Elijah is encouraged and his faith is built, and he remembers that God promised rain. And so he sends his servant. He says, go look out over the sea. Look for any sign of rain. And he comes back and he says, I didn't see anything. But Elijah believed, so he sent him again. He came back and he said, I still didn't see anything. And so it took faith, but Elijah had faith to believe the word of God. He sent his servant 7 times, and each time got that same answer. Until finally on the 7th time, the servant said, I see a tiny cloud. It's beginning to swell over the waters. And Elijah knew that the word of God was coming to pass, that the word he had spoken, he was going to deliver. And I just wonder if there are some of us in this place today who this year we are asking God to come through on our behalf and for his glory. I think God wants to do that. Maybe you've been in that season of drought and you're saying, Lord, I need to experience your rain in my life. I believe God wants to pour that out. He wants to give us faith, because you know what? Every word he speaks, he will follow through in his time. His promises will be achieved. So God, we just thank you for who you are. Give us faith, Lord, to believe for more.
Hear the word roaring as thunder, with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens, now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your rain. Yes, Lord, we receive. Every sea buried in sorrow, you will call forth in its time. You are Lord, Lord of the harvest, calling our home now to arise. We anticipation, we await the promise to come. Everything that you've spoken will come to pass. Let it be.
House of the Lord with you and worshiping. We're starting off the new year right in his house, in his presence. You can be seated. Ushers, you can go ahead and come forward. You can begin to take up the offering as soon as I finish praying. If you would, congregation, bow your heads with me. Lord, we're so grateful to be able to assemble in your presence with other believers today. Lord, I pray as we launch into this new year, God, you give us grace to believe everything that you have for us in 2019. God, will you also bless these tithes and offerings, multiply them for your kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen. Great to be with you. If you're a new guest of ours, we're so glad you chose to worship with us this weekend. We're in the just starting a brand new series called Launch Time. Launch Time. Go ahead and make a commitment to yourself to be here next weekend. The next step in the series is about forgiveness and freedom. You don't want to miss it. But we're also beginning a 21-day fast. And listen, as much as I love to eat, our household looks forward to this every year. It's such a great time of spiritual focus and prayer. In fact, we've got some great tools for you during those 21 days online. Every day, Cal has a personal devotional that you can watch online, and also these great songs that you love to worship to during the weekend. We've recorded some of those and put those online too, so you can find God's presence, get encouragement about your prayer life, get those devotionals every day. Listen, you can get them on a computer, but more often than a computer, what do you always have with you? Your phone, a smartphone. So we encourage you to download the app. You can access all that content there. If you're a little sketchy with downloading apps from the App Store and you don't have a teenager handy, stop by the Connection Center on your way out today. There's someone out there that can help you download and access all this great content. Everyone needs to feel connected with their local church. And many of you are deciding right now, hey, I'm going to make some changes this year. I want to get closer and more mature in my walk with the Lord. But what's my next step on doing that? We can help you. At Northwoods, the best way is four steps. It's four short classes. You can hear about church history, what we believe, but also all of the great choices and resources to help you grow your faith and find a church community and serve. So you can drop by any Sunday, hit the class in person at 10:45, or you can watch it online, northwoods.church/4steps. Another way great to start out your year is getting encouraged. We have a ministry appointment available called get encouraged. And a trained team's gonna pray. They're gonna share God's personal heart for you. It's always a deep time of personal encouragement. It's a short appointment, but you do need to schedule it online, northwoods.church/prayer. Hey, thanks again for being here. Happy New Year. If you would, watch this.
Heavenly Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, creator of my creativity, my thoughts, my actions, my expressions. In the past year, my prayers have focused on being better, being bigger, achieving more, receiving more, being self-aware, self-confident, self-satisfied, and it's led me to be self-centered. In the midst of communicating my expectations, I forget to focus on your excellence. Remind me that this plan is much bigger than me. Align my spirit with your will. Use me. Guide me. Allow my heart to wrap around your plan, your desires, your expectations. Place me in the position, the exact position, to reach new heights, new levels of faith, of freedom, of fulfillment. God, it's time to be launched.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Are you ready for launch time? Is this church ready for launch time? I hope you are. And I'm so glad to see you. An official Happy New Year for me, to everybody on this first weekend of 2019. Also want to give a Happy New Year to our campuses. Let's welcome Galesburg, Canton, Princeton, and who am I forgetting? Chillicothe. Come on, give it up for these guys. And then our online family. Great to have you guys with us. I hope you all had a great holiday season, wherever you spent Christmas and New Year's. Susan and I ran off to Florida and got, you know, we suffered in the sun for about a week. That was awesome. Still going to plan a church down there someday. You sign up and go with me, all right? But no, guys, what a unbelievable season it was, particularly to watch God at work through our Christmas production this year. So before we jump fully into 2019, I felt like, you know what, we need to stop and praise God for an amazing conclusion to 2018. I don't want to let him unpraised for what he did among us, because this is the first time we've been able to gather and talk about it. First of all, we need to give a special thanks again to the cast and crew, to 1,945 people who volunteered in some capacity, the 221 Discoveryland folks, a total of 2,166 people who served to help us do what we did with the production. That is awesome. God did amazing things because you invested your time and your talents in helping pull off the production. Here at the Northwoods campus alone, 27,877 people attended the production. That was an average of over 2,500 people every night. And when you add in over 4,900 online attenders and a Galesburg live stream opportunity, over 33,000 people took in the Christmas production. That's like a third of Peoria. Is that awesome? We thank the Lord for that. Now, hey, we'd want the seats to be packed. Why? Not just because we want the seats to be packed. Guys, we don't put on a Christmas production just because we enjoy exhausting ourselves during that time of the year. We do it because it's our greatest harvest time. More people will come to church at Christmas time than any other time, and it becomes an easy ask for you. You know that. You invite people, and they come, and they enjoy the show. And some of them are leaving and picking up a yes packet because God got a hold of their heart. And you know, last year, we kind of hit our high point as we were believing God for 1,000. He gave us exactly 1,000 people last year's production. We were saying this year, God, would you do it again? And he gave us 1,307 people who said yes to Jesus Christ. Is that awesome? So incredible. And we're praying now that every seed that was planted will go to depth, will stick, will bring forth fruit. So we praise God for those numbers. Guys, we're not cynical about numbers around here because we realize every number has a name, every name has a story, and every story matters to God. And we've been receiving some of those stories back. So I just wanted, before I launch into the message today, just wanted to share a couple of these stories that have so touched my heart. First of all, Dawn Minch, who is our creative arts director, who's, when she first came to Northwoods like 20 years ago, she didn't know Jesus. This is the place where she came to know Christ. It's the place where she first began to serve as an administrator. And then we didn't know that she was helping put on Branson shows, you know, and this type of thing. Became our creative arts director. So everything you see on the stage every Christmas kind of comes out of her brain, how the stage can be set, what we're going to do, the dancers, how we can fly people in, all that type of stuff. She dreams up virtually all of it except my message, all right? And she's been inviting her nails lady, a little Vietnamese woman that does her nails, been inviting her to church for like 18 years. And to at least 15, I think we've done Christmas production for like 15 years. And 15 years, she's, nope. This year, she comes. Opening night, December 16th, Dawn receives a little text from the lady that does her nails. I'm here. A couple of days later, Dawn goes back to get her nails done. And she's sobbing. She's telling me the story. I'm crying as well. She said, Kel, I walked in and her face is beaming. And she throws up her arms and she says in her broken English, I'm free, I'm free. And she talks about how she had received Jesus. And not only that, but she had gone back and taken all the Buddhist, because she's Buddhist, you know, she'd taken all the Buddhist paraphernalia off the wall. Nobody told her to do that. She said to Dawn, you know, I'm going to Vietnam to see my mother in January, and taking off on the message when I was talking about giving God your moments in time, right? Give him your last moment. She said, my mother is in her last moment. I must talk to her about Jesus. And so here, you know, Dawn's been able to find a Bible in the Vietnamese language, because it's hard for this gal to read English and all of this type of stuff. But I'm hoping that you and I get to meet. I haven't met her yet. But can you praise God for that story? I mean, that's we're sitting there bawling our eyes out, and we're like, that puts enough fuel in us to do 20 of these things, you know? And then one of our dancers, while we were coming back from Florida, or in Florida, we see a little note from one of our dancers, and says she's gone out to the local pharmacy, and she's known the pharmacist for a long time. Always assumed he was a believer, but he sees her and comes and gives her a big hug, and then proceeds to talk about coming to the Christmas production. And he says, when you were dancing to that one song, he said, something happened in my heart. And then he opened his life to Christ during the message and picked up a yes back. He's standing there telling her at the pharmacy that he is now on the path of faith because of the Christmas production. Is that awesome? Monday of this week, a lady sat down to write me a story. And I'm going to just read this to you, because there's elements of it that really impact the entire message today. She joined, their family joined our Canton family this past year, but it began at the Christmas production last year, 2017. She wrote, Hi, Pastor Cal, I wanted to take a moment reflection upon this last year to thank you for a prayer you offered in 2017. I'm like, what prayer? My daughter Anna was a drummer in both last year's Christmas production and this year. So you remember the big drum that came down? She was up here on the right side, you know, that was Anna, all right? She said, last year we were attending a church closer to home, but that's all we were doing, attending. Not growing, not connecting, not serving, just attending out of obligation to a church we chose because of proximity. And she wasn't bashing the church, but she said, our lives were defined by obligation and stagnation. Hang on to that, because some of you, your lives are defined by obligation and stagnation, and that is not what God has designed you for. But that's where they were. Said Anna came home from the first production in tears. She was so touched by the words you offered in prayer. We meet back here and we pray with the entire cast before we come out here. We ask God for his anointing every time. We ask God to open hearts. We ask God to do miracles in people's lives so that we hear these kind of stories. She was there as we were praying. And it said, you led that production team in prayer, not just for the show, but for those who were coming to it, those who needed to know Christ, those who didn't know Christ. As a 12-year-old, this struck her. She had never thought about church that way. Anna, my husband, and I had a really great talk about the impact that prayer had on her performance during that Christmas show. While we were touched as her parents, we figured she would just finish up her opportunity and we would get back to our normal church life. Read stagnation, obligation. However, after Christmas 2017, Anna again came to us. She said she wasn't growing and neither were we. Parents, how would you like to hear that from your kids, right? She felt led by the Holy Spirit to seek more, to grow more, to try something different. She told us we were being held back by our fears of stepping out of our usual. Our 12-year-old, yes, 12 years old, begged us to try something different. So we did. Last January, my husband and I, along with our 6 children, went to the Northwoods Canton campus because they live closer that way. We thought we would try it out. We've never looked back. We've been running toward the Lord ever since. Anna is involved in Converge, and she's a dodgeball machine. She attended the getaway. She helps lead worship. Our second oldest, Josie, is an up-and-coming worship leader as well and was the tiny drummer on the stage this year with her sister. Our third daughter, Amelia, is the tech and teardown go-to in her Discoveryland class. Jack, our only son, left his first Sunday school class and stated, "Mom, that Mrs. Lowe really knows about Jesus." Our twins have declared that this new church is now our home church. So count them up. That's a pretty good family there, okay? My husband and I met in a church very similar to Northwoods in Champaign and always sought to find something similar in our area when we moved here. However, with all of our little kids, getting to the Peoria campus would have been a miracle every Sunday, so we settled. We never grew, we fell away, we struggled, we craved more, but feared change. Your message last January about restarting and now your message yesterday about launching touched my spirit and brought tears to my eyes. She says, "We are launching, we have launched." My husband and I have grown closer to each other despite the busyness of life and kids and jobs, and that is all due to our faith in God being renewed. We are back to serving, not only just out of obligation, but in our areas of spiritual giftedness. I'm on the Music and Discoveryland team while my husband helps with greeting. We are connected to Christ followers in our community and happily share our story of life change with all who want to hear it. Our kids are doing the same, which is something that still astounds me in the world in which we live. Here it is. Our second daughter's best friend came to the Christmas production this year per Josie's invitation and picked up a yes packet. We'll pick her up this week for church. So sitting in Canton right now is this young lady that just came to Jesus because this whole family has gotten on fire. And they said, we praise God, we have a big enough car to get them all here. I want to stop right now and say to that mom and dad, say to Anna, say to Josie, say to that whole family, say to that young one that just picked up yes packet, I want to tell you something. You are why we do everything we do, and I want you to know God is honored by your infectious faith. That is the kind of faith he blesses. That is the kind of faith he is looking for. That is the kind of faith he uses to release miracles in his kingdom. I'm so glad you're a part of our Canton family, and we bless you here today. We thank God for what he's done in your lives. Come on, give it up one more time for that dear Canton family. That's a seed. And that's a message for us. But before we go anywhere, I want in all of our campuses, I want right here at Peoria, we cannot jump into 2019, but that we give God all the glory. We will never take any glory from him. And we give him all the praise for the way he answered and showed up in amazing ways. I want to just ask you to stand where you are. Just stand at all of your churches right now. And I want you, if you feel comfortable, just lift a hand to God. You don't have to, but listen, right now, Father, we are uniting our hearts all across these 5 campuses. And we are thanking you for eternities that were changed. Hearts that were opened into which you poured the living word of God. And Father, we're praying for all those 1,307 that came to Jesus. It'll be fruit that will last. They will know they've met Jesus. The roots of their spiritual life will go down, will go deep. You will show them mighty things from your throne, Lord. And that none of that fruit will be lost. But as a people, we lift up hands to you and say, Lord, we are overwhelmed by your goodness. We have tasted and we just want more. We just want more. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to you and we ask you to remove any barrier of obligation and stagnation or whatever it is that may be holding us back from going to new places with you. Let 2019 be a year of rain over this church, over all of our campuses. We pray together in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, more. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Thank you, guys. You can take your seat now. We're not done yet. Just getting into the message now. But we had to stop and thank God. So we begin our 21 days of fasting and prayers. We've been doing every year now for 10 years. For those of you who are new here and have never done the 21 days with us, fasting is simply a focused way we dedicate the entire year to God right from the start. It's a way of giving him the first fruits of our time, the first fruits of our year, just as we give him the first fruits of our resources. Because when we give him the first, we are saying, God, we trust you with all the rest. We'll give you the best. We'll give you the first. And we always say around here, if you give him the first fruits, that is blessed, but so is the rest. You give him the first, everything else gets blessed. And that's why we fast. We fast right from the start of a new year. Fasting in its basic form is going without food for a meal or several meals, for a day or several days or however long. We do 21 days, but we're not asking you, if you're new to fasting, don't think we're asking you to shut down your belly for 21 days and taste no food, okay? There may be some advanced fasters who might do that, but this isn't about, how impressive I can be in my fast. What you do want to do is take time away from a meal to seek God. So for the next 21 days, we want this to be a concentrated time of seeking God through fasting and prayer and setting the course for our entire year. As I said last week, for those of you who watched the online message, you may decide to forgo, and you've got to decide what your fast is going to be, all right? So it might be, I'm gonna give up one meal a day. Some of you, it might be, I'm going to fast from sunup to sundown. Some of you, it might be, man, I'm going to do at least 3 to 5 days of total fast and then maybe move back into a few meals. You know, you can do any mix and match. Some of you will do the Daniel fast. It's named after Daniel in the Bible, where he gave up meats and sweets and just ate vegetables and drank water. And he ended up at the end of that time period just being so much better than all the other people who were eating all the junk, okay? So you have to decide, what is the fast God's calling me into? If you're just new, we're like a baby to fasting, we say, you know, don't try to run before you've learned to crawl. Just do something that's a little more than you've done before. And those of you who are a little more advanced, I would say, go a little further than you have before. If you've fasted a total of 5 days, you may make it 6, make it 7, you know. Go on out a little bit further. And in trying to decide all this stuff, guys, we put together some online tools for you. You can go online. It gives you all kinds of tips for fasting, help you decide about the different types of fasting. Those of you who do well on the computer, you'll want to get this book. It's a little devotional. I've put together 21 days. I've taken virtually every reference to fasting in the Bible, and I do a devotional around why the people in the Bible fasted and what fasting can do for us in our day. So I encourage you to use those devotionals. You just pop up your screen, hit it, and it'll play. And then we've had some songs put together by our worship team. We want this to be a place where whether morning, noon, night, wherever it is you're doing, you're spending time with God. Because that's the important thing in fasting. I'm taking time away from my eating so I can invest that time with God. If you don't invest that time with God, listen, you're not fasting, you're dieting. All right? And yes, if you fast, you'll lose some weight, you'll fit in your clothes better, all that type of thing. But fasting isn't dieting. It's doing without food so that I can feast on God. All right? So we've put all of this stuff together for you. If you do better with paper copies, we've got paper copies, all right? And so this gives you all the just questions coming off the devotional. This is a 1-year Bible reading guide because we want you to begin getting into the Word of God. It also has some of the tips and types of fasts and that type of thing. So again, if you're new to this, study up a little bit as we get going and decide on how you're going to use this fast. I was thinking about launch time one day, and I realized that it's only one letter removed from lunchtime. But that one letter makes all the difference. Fasting, think about fasting as giving up lunchtime to seek God for launch time. It's declaring before God, I want what you have for me. I want to be launched. I want a launch in my faith more than I want my lunch. And it's saying to him, God, I'm desperate to see my life and my church go to some new levels of faith. That's what we're talking about this week. Like that family I read about earlier, there's nothing exciting if you've been there, and some of you are there right now, you know, there is nothing exciting about living in the land of obligation and stagnation. And that is not what you're designed for. God has designed you to go from faith to faith and to go to new levels of faith. Now, when we talk about going to new levels of faith, I need to make clear that the Bible uses faith in different ways at times. So, first of all, it talks about the faith. That's not what we're talking about here. The faith are the non-negotiable body of beliefs that we must hold as followers of Christ. And so the book of Jude, it's just one chapter, it's verse 3. It says, contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And that once for all is really important. God's not writing more new doctrines today. And there are a lot of people who are really getting off into some wacky doctrines. And the word of God says, the faith has been entrusted to the saints for all time, once for all. So yes, you want to grow deeper in the faith. We're talking about the non-negotiables, the deity of Jesus Christ, the sonship of Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, what that accomplished for us, salvation by faith in his name, the authority of the Holy Scriptures, the Trinity of the Godhead. So yes, we want you to go deeper into those things in terms of your holding on to them and contending for them in a day when a lot of the church is letting loose of some of the non-negotiables. That's called the faith. Now, you came into a relationship with Jesus through another facet of faith. That's called saving faith. Saving faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9 tells us that it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And so saving faith is our faith in Jesus that saves us from the penalty of sin and guarantees our eternal inheritance. It gets you in the front door of salvation, okay? But when we talk about being launched to new levels of faith, we're not talking about being launched to new levels of saving faith, as if I can be saved in a greater way than I am now. No, if you've held on to the faith and put your faith in who Jesus is, what he did for you, all right, you have been saved. You're forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. But you can be all of that and still be living in the land of obligation and stagnation. Because there's another facet of faith, and this is where we talk about growing and launching. And I just call this, I put everything else under this, called mountain-moving faith. This is the faith that inspires me to believe God for miracles and to attempt great things for him. This is the faith Jesus was talking about in Mark 11, verses 22 and 23, when he said, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. He had just cursed a tree. And the next day, the disciples saw that it was all curled up and dead. They said, how did that happen? And this is what he taught. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. This type of faith in the scriptures can be greater or lesser. When Jesus say, oh, ye of little faith. See, you can be saved and he can still be saying to you, oh, you of little faith. That's what he's talking about. It can be greater or lesser. It can be stronger or weaker. It can grab hold of a word from God and go to new levels. But here's what I want you to see. You can believe all the right doctrines, and I hope you do. You can believe all the right doctrines of the faith. You can have put your faith in those doctrines and you have saving faith so that you're on your way to heaven and you know you've been forgiven, but you can still be what we would call an unbelieving believer. Jesus comes along and says, hey, I want you to step out. Nope. See, when we're talking about mountain-moving faith, we're talking about the faith that gets out of the boat when he says, get out of the boat. You can be a believer, you can believe all the right things and say, nope, I like this seat just fine. Thank you. I'm not getting out of the boat. Mountain-moving faith is get out of the boat faith. Mountain-moving faith is come out into the deep faith. Just like Jesus says to the disciples in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, he's been teaching one day and there's such a crowd that he gets into somebody's boat and he pushes out and he teaches for a little while and says some of the fishermen there were cleaning their nets after a night of fishing. Peter was one of them. I believe he's using Peter's boat. He gets done teaching. He says, Peter, here's his word, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, I want you to see that when God asks you to launch out, he's not asking you to launch out for nothing. He got a catch. And you could be sitting there going, nuh-uh, not me. That's almost what Peter did. He'd been fishing all night. He was weary. They'd already cleaned their nets. You know how much work that is? Folding the nets and putting the nets away. Hey, let's go out, let down the nets for a catch. And Peter's like, are you serious? I think he wants to say, Jesus, I know that you're the Savior, and I know you know a lot, but we are fishermen, and we know fishing. And we've been fishing all night and caught nothing. I'm sure Jesus is thinking in his head, yeah, you're such a fisherman, that's why you caught nothing. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. When God says that to you, he's inviting you out of your comfort zone. You're not going to get the big fish up near the shore. You want to stay up there, you're going to continue to get minnows. I want you to come out in the deep because I have a catch for you. Now watch, when he does that, you always have a choice. Hey, with saving faith, you either get in the door or you don't get in the door. You have a choice. You can go to heaven, you don't go to heaven. But see, once you're in the door and Jesus invites you to come into the house and invites you to go deeper, you can sit in the boat and go, all right, I'm going anywhere. I already fished. We didn't catch anything. Some of you are in obligation and stagnation because you're not following Jesus. You're not allowing him to take you into mountain moving faith. And I'm telling you, your Christian life will get really, really exciting when you start launching out in the deep and following him. God wants you to break away from your comfort zone. Step out in faith to do what he's put in your heart. You may not understand why he's telling you to launch out. You may want to argue like Peter. But guys, when Jesus tells you to launch out, it's because he wants to take you to new levels of faith so that he can bless you at new levels of faith. And I believe there are five choices that can launch your faith to new levels in 2019. You want to talk to God about these choices? He will always be all over these things and helping you go to new levels in these. And I've just put them, so it's easy for you to remember, I put them in a faith acrostic, the F-A-I-T-H. Here are the choices. Here are places where God is inviting you to go deeper. What's your answer going to be to him? Here's choice number one. He's inviting you to go deeper in the word. And so the F here in faith, if you're going to launch your faith, you're going to have to feed on God's word daily. Some of you are wanting God to move mountains in your life, and you're not even cracking the book. You're wondering why you're so moved, why you're blown back and forth by everything that comes down the pipe, because you're not cracking the book. You're not in that word that is feeding you every day. And I've told you before, Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. You see, faith and the word are intimately linked. So if you don't get the word, you're not going to grow in your faith. And I've told you before, there are two words for that word in the Greek. One translation, all right, there's the logos, that's the written word of God. So you got your Bible's not going to run over to you and jump off the shelf and say, read me. You got to make a commitment saying, I got to get into this word. And when you crack that logos, and again, we've got all kinds of tools online, give you Bible reading plans. But when you crack that book open, you are reading the logos, the written word of God. However, there are times when God takes a written word, when you're hearing it preached, when you're reading it, and the Spirit of God deposits something just for you into your heart. That's a rhema word from God. That is the speaking voice of God. Let me tell you something, guys. If you never crack the logos, I question whether you're ever going to get a rhema. I wouldn't trust your rhema if it's not based in the logos. You've got to get that word into your life so God can begin, the Spirit of God can begin to pick it up and use it in your life and say, this is for you. I was reading a story about a Brittany just this week. She spent her 20s, she's 31 years old now, and she spent her 20s in the porn industry. Ended up with sexual diseases, on drugs like cocaine and heroin, and her life came to a breaking point in her mid-20s, so she quit the industry and she started going to church with her grandpa. And there she heard about Jesus Christ. And she said she put her faith in him and she began a relationship with him. I don't think anybody ever took her under her wing. She was young in her faith, and she didn't know how to get into the Word of God. She didn't know how to put down the roots, so she was just kind of floating along, and another man came along, kind of was her boyfriend, but he was really involved in the porn industry, led her right back into the porn industry. Another 3.5 years. But now, because she has a spark of faith, she is starting to read the Word of God, and she's beginning to understand. She said, everything in my heart is crying out to God for a change, because I know this is not what He wants. She is on her way to a porn shoot in Las Vegas. While on the plane, she has her Bible open, reading it, and the voice of God lifts that word off the page, goes right into her heart, says, Brittany, this is not the life I have for you. I have something so much more special, but I need you to give me a step of faith today. And that was the day she left the porn industry. That was 2012. Today she is married to a pastor. They have just now authored a book on marriage. She goes all over the country speaking and delivering other broken women out of the industry and this type of thing. It's an amazing story, but can I tell you guys, it all started because she was in the logos of God, giving the rhema of God an opportunity to speak into her life. And I'm telling you, your life is going to go no higher than where it is now until you say, you know what, from here on, it's about feasting on the Word of God. Feed on that word daily. Here's your A. God will always help you with this choice as well. And it'll take you to new levels of faith. Activate your gifts intentionally. Many of you, almost 400 of you, went through the Step 4 classes and not only got more connected with Northwoods last year, but you discovered your spiritual gifts and began to use them. Guys, listen to me. It's in stepping out to use your gifts that God actually takes you from faith to faith. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, in a gifts passage, tells us that we have each been given a measure of faith and that we are to act and think in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given us. We have all been given a measure of faith. It's not to compare with somebody else's. My measure of faith may be larger than yours, and mine may be smaller than somebody else. That's not the matter. Mine is, God, I want to take the measure of faith that you have given me and steward it to the best of my ability. And as I do that, guess what? My measure of faith is going to grow. If it's obligation and stagnation, you don't grow. And so I'm glad that 400 of you or so stepped out last year, and you're now putting your gifts to work in the church. But we're not just talking, yeah, we need that in order for Northwoods to go to a greater level. But we're not just talking about utilizing your gifts here in the church. I'm talking about utilizing your gifts out there beyond the walls of the church, where you step out in faith and activate the gifts that God's placed in you. Sometimes those gifts are activated only as you step out. So let's say that you went to doing what Jesus did. A lot of people use that training course. I'd encourage you to get into that training course as well, because it teaches you how to pray for the sick, how to believe God for more, how to hear God, all these types of things. But let's say that you went there and you saw some people healed. So you have a little bit more faith now to believe that God does that, but you still can't hardly believe that God would ever do that with you. But you're out in your backyard one day and you're talking to the neighbor, and the neighbor says, man, I just have this splitting headache. And you sense in your spirit, you know, I should pray for her. Now, I want to tell you, your faith is really weak. You've got just a small measure of faith because you haven't been praying for a whole lot of people to be healed. You haven't gone to real new heights in that yet, you know, this type of thing. But let's say that in that moment, you use the measure of faith, as weak as it may be, to say, Lord, you just ask her, would it be okay if I pray for you? And she says, yes. And you lay your hands on her and you pray for her, and God delivers her from that headache. Can I tell you something? She's not only going to be praising God, but your measure of faith just went to a new level. Why? Because the next time God asks you to step out and pray for a headache, you're going to have no problem stepping out and praying for a headache, because you already know what you can do with that. You're now wanting a bigger target. I want to pray for that cancer. I want to pray, you know, I want to pray for that next thing, right? That's how it goes. You go from faith to faith to faith. And the only way you go to a higher level is to activate the faith you currently have. You want a greater measure? Then start stewarding the measure you currently have. And God will take you to new levels. Feed on the Word of God daily. Activate your gifts intentionally. Thirdly, invest your resources generously. There's nothing that will take your faith to new levels faster than learning to obey God in your giving. Ask Him about it. The only God that's going to challenge you throughout your life, there are a lot of them, but the biggest one is called Mammon, and that's money trying to hold on to your life because you've never surrendered. You surrendered, you thought you surrendered your life, but when you come up and got baptized, you didn't put your billfold underwater. I want God to have everything else, but you can't have my money. Consequently, you're not obeying God in your finances. Paul said, two greatest chapters on giving in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Read them sometime. He said to the church at Corinth that just as you excel in all kinds of spiritual gifts, you see that you excel in the grace of giving. And he tells us why. Because of this tremendous promise in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. I want you to look at it because, this is a rhema word for some of you right here today. God's going to take this and he goes, this is for you. This is what I want to do in your life. He said, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply, and not just supply, but increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That's true in our lives individually. It's true of our church corporately. God wants to increase and enlarge. But the secret is in being obedient to him and showing our faith already by giving him the first fruits of our resources. Guys, when we talk about our harvest of righteousness, that's what we accomplish for God, okay? That's like 1,300 and some people who came to Christ. Do you realize that if we didn't have the money to do a production, or if we said, no, we don't want to do a production because it makes us tired and we've already folded our nets and we don't want to do that, you know, that's fine. That's 1,307 that wouldn't be in the kingdom. But God enables us to have that kind of harvest of righteousness because of our size and because of the giving. And he keeps enlarging it. I want to believe him. I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep believing him for more. Don't you? And so the only way that we can continue to get that more, our harvest will always be directly proportional to the seed we sow. You know what else is going to be directly proportional to the seed you sow? The increase in your life will be directly proportional to the seed you sow. So if you want to be, and Paul actually says that, you want to be chintzy with God, don't expect a big catch. You'll be generous with him, you won't be able to outgive him. So I want to just encourage you right from the start, make this a part of your prayer, make this a part of your fasting, to get on God's plan and commit to giving him the first 10% of your income right off the top. That's called the first fruits. If the first is blessed, so is the rest. Then create another category of giving over and above as God prospers you, enables you, challenges you. If you're in a financial bind and you need to get your finances in order so that you can give, then you go to our financial peace class. It'll be coming up right after the fast. You go in February to financial peace and get your life in order. Guys, I learned early on in my life, and I know God showed me stories. I'm going to write a book someday about the financial miracles that I've seen. I learned early on that when I put God first in my finances, financial miracles follow. And Susan and I have seen this over and over again. In our first church, we weren't making much. We were giving 15 to 20% away every year, our tithe, and then we'd have an over and above category that we'd just be doing all kinds of other things. We had two young kids. We were driving a Plymouth Champ, a two-door Plymouth Champ. We have to pull the seats forward and get them into their car seats. Had 130,000 miles on it. Wasn't getting any younger. It wasn't getting any newer as we were driving it. And I said to Susan one day, I think we need to cut back to the tithes so we use the other to, you know, make payments on the car. She's like, I don't feel like we should do that. And I got a little smart with her and I said, well, you know, cars and money don't grow on trees. We should probably use the money, you know, to buy the car. She says, well, I think we need to pray about it. And it wasn't but a day later that she came to my office, tears in her eyes, with an envelope and a letter, said, you need to read this letter. And inside that letter, people that knew nothing about what we were praying, nothing about our situation, nothing. I'll never forget the first two lines. It said, God has called some people to the front lines of ministry. He has called other people to take care of those on the front line of ministry. And for whatever reason, God has spoken to my wife and I about giving you and Susan this check for your next car. Guys, this is late 80s. It was a check for $5,000. I'd buy a lot of car. And I believe today that he didn't just do that miracle for me. He did that because he knew I would be teaching people about putting him first in their finances for the rest of my life. And I can only say this to you. Try it. When he invites you to come out in the deep and let down your nets that say, get your hands off the stuff that I want to use to bring you a greater catch. You invest your resources generously. And God, I'm telling you, you'll never go back. As a church, as we've focused on church planning through the Surge Project over the past 20 months, not only have we exceeded our year-end budgeted giving over the last 2 years, this is another one we need to give God praise for. Guys, the greatest year of giving in the history of our church just occurred. We ended up 7% over budget in our giving. That's amazing. So listen to this. In October, we're sitting there. We're a little bit behind budget. We're always faith challenged. Should we add to the budget? Do we hold tight? You know, of course, we always have more needs coming, and you know, our insurance is going up and everything else, right? But we decided to go like 5 to 6% above. Here's what's unbelievable. In 2018, we surpassed what we've set for the 2019 budget. Now, what makes that really spectacular is that for 20 months, we've been planting churches in addition. This is all over and above our annual giving, just individuals giving. And I used to think, man, if we go into this church planting, I want to plant those churches, but I know what's going to happen. People are just going to start sucking it out of the church and planting churches with it. And we're going to end up suffering in our budget, not able to do the things we want to do. You know what? It hasn't happened. Oh, ye of little faith, Cal. We now have 290 churches planted around the world. 290. In 36 countries, and $750,000 that have planted those churches all over and above a budget that we just surpassed. Now, come on. Do the math. I'm like, this is amazing. You know what's in my heart right now? I'm going to tell you a whole lot more about this down the road. We got to get on. We're going to have a little bit of communion today as well. We have basically had a mortgage since 1993. Because we built and borrowed, and we never allowed it to get more than 10 to 12% of our, you know, we handle that. But if you know how much that mortgage was right now on that 10 to 12%, God's given me a grander vision. And I hear him speaking to me, get this church out of debt now. So by 2020, we're not going to have a mortgage anymore. I'm declaring that. And we're gonna do a little emphasis to get us there. But here's the point. It's not just to get out of debt. We are going to reallocate the mortgage payment to planting churches locally and worldwide so that we're all collectively in our budget, not just over and above our budget, in our budget. The first 100 churches worldwide will be planted first thing every year with $300,000 right off the top. And then we're going to take another $200,000 and we're going to pour that into the regional church planting that we're doing. And you've already heard about the fact we got a school in the works to train up young folks who want to lead churches. And guys, this is, I'm telling you, I'm going to have to live to be 100 to get this all done. But are you ready to go? I believe God wants to launch us. Listen, in our church, in our personal lives, it begins with all of us saying, Lord, be first in my finances. So I would encourage you to make this a part of your fast. Ask the question, and Susan and I will do the same thing. Lord, what does it mean for us to go to a new level of faith in our kingdom giving this year? God always loves to talk about that. Give God a chance to fill your net by trusting him for something more. Now here's the T in faith, and we'll go real quickly here. Tell your story regularly. And by tell your story, we're not in an obnoxious or overbearing way. You're just looking for ways to influence your friends for Christ, to invite them into this family, to invite them onto the faith journey. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this, here it is, with gentleness and respect. So we need to underline that one. Stop backing up the gospel dump truck and dumping it on them whether they want to hear it or not. It's cultivating relationship. It's inviting. So here's what we want you to do. You're going to hear a whole lot more about this. Last year, our yearly focus as a church was in the four steps. Get as many of you through the four steps. Now, we still want you to go through the four steps. But the yearly focus this year, and again, you'll hear more about this, is going to be what we call the high five. It's every one of us committing to making 5 invitations this year. So I think it would be awesome if during your fast, you would say, God, who are the 5 friends in my life that you're working in? That you want me to invest time with, that need to get on the faith journey, that I can share my story with, that I can maybe invite to church, that I'm just going to begin to pray for, Who are the five? You ought to have a list of five somewhere that you're going to begin praying for right here from the beginning of January. Guys, let's see what God does as this entire church wraps our hearts around five people each. And I just believe we're going to see this church grow. And we're going to see a lot of people come to Jesus. And I know that because that's his will, he's saying, come on out into the deep. I want to help you share your story. You guys, when you've got mountain-moving faith, you have so many stories to tell. You just have to tell them. And there are people who don't know Jesus that are going, tell me about that. They don't listen to obligation and stagnation. So think about Peter. Come on out in the deep. Can you hear his story on the way in that day? As he gathers his fishing buddies, and you ain't going to believe this. We fished all night. We caught nothing. We were putting our nets away. And the master tells us to come out into the deep. I didn't really want to, but I went out. We let the nets down, and holy cow, we caught so many fish, it tore up the nets. You know, the guys are sitting there. I can see them. They're sitting there in the campfire listening to the story. And you know what? It's an easy ask for Peter. You guys want to go fishing with me next time? Next time Jesus takes us out, you want to go? See, when you've got that kind of story in your life, it becomes an easy thing to just tell others what God can do for them. Who are your five? Tell your story regularly. That's part of the faith journey that God wants to take you on. And here's the last one. Here's the H. Hold up your hands expectantly. And I say it that way because the Bible uses that phrase. It simply means seek God through worship and prayer for what you need. It's the verse in the Bible, the word proskuneo, which means to bend the knee. That's what prayer is. It was very physical. It was a bending knee. But here's what it looked like in the first century. They would bend their knee and they would open their hands. And I love that posture. It's a posture of humility. It's a posture of reception. At the same time that I'm lauding him, Lord, I'm giving you all the praise, but my hands are wide open. This is the way you want to look in your heart, whether you look that way physically. This is how you want to look in your heart this year. And God will take you to new levels of faith as he answers those prayers that he has put in your heart. What are the things you're seeking him for? Where do you need a miracle breakthrough? Obligation and stagnation aren't going to get it done. It is launch time. Push away from the lunch table and start seeking God for the breakthrough you need, opening your hands to him, coming into line with him. And I'm telling you, let down the nets and he'll fill them. He's got that for you this year. Do you want that? He's ready to launch you. But it's your choice. Come out in the deep. Let down the nets, and I'll fill them. Guys, the way we're going to go out of here today, we're going to spend a few moments, just a couple moments, as we get ready for launch time. I always think, how appropriate that one of the last things I taste for a while is the bread and the cup, signifying to Jesus that I just want your life more than anything. So listen to the song as the servers come. Hold your cup, hold the wafer, and we'll partake together in just a moment.
Victory. slain so I can live. Oh, see the Lamb, the great I am, who takes away my sin. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. That saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. And oh, the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the blood of the Lamb. That saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
The Bible tells us that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, "This is my body broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me." I hear in my mind and my heart this old hymn that I learned growing up in church. It's really what we're doing here today in this moment as we start these 21 days. But it said, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." Just absolutely laid down for you. Listen, when your life is laid down, he will see that you have everything you need. He hasn't asked to, he hasn't promised to bless your plan. You lay your life down, consecrate it to him, you'll have everything you need. Body, soul, spirit. This broken bread is strength for your body. I don't know what happens, guys. It's just a wafer. It's going to taste like a wafer in a little bit. But there's something that happens when I, by faith, release now to him and say, "Lord, let this flesh become your strength in my life." And it does. Ask him for what you need. "Lord, I'm laying my life on your altar. Bring your strength. Bring your healing. Bring your wholeness. I want what you have for me." And by faith now, receive that. And believe that you're receiving that as we partake of the bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood given for the remission of sins. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." I was just reading Revelation 1 this week, that by your blood, they're celebrating Jesus in heaven. By your blood, you purchased us, sons and daughters, for heaven. You're a purchased son or daughter. Why? Because he wanted you. He gave his lifeblood for you. This blood has washed every sin, every stain. Do not listen to the voice of guilt. Do not listen to the voice of shame anymore for your past. This has washed it clean. But I want you to know, going into a new year, guys, this is a place for mountain moving faith when it comes to the freedom that you want to know in your life. God has places he wants to take you and free you where you've never been free. Don't settle for obligation. Don't settle for stagnation. Don't settle for unbelief of saying, "Well, I think this is just the way it is in my life. This is the way it's going to be." No, by the blood of Jesus, you will and you can advance, because this is the power to break every chain. Amen? By faith, release your faith and receive that today from the Lord. And so I want to ask you to stand right now. I want to just bless you on your way out of here, guys. Lean in. Lean in for these next 21 days. Jesus saying, come on out in the deep. I've got some things I want to show you. Let the nets down. We're going to go to some places we haven't gone before. Are you ready? Let the Lord know that. And again, you can maybe just open your hands. That's a posture receiving. Those who feel comfortable, lift up holy hands to him, the Bible says. Father, we're declaring you as Lord over this year, and we're giving you the first fruits right from the beginning. And we have faith at this church to ask you, Lord, to launch us into new places we've never been before. Father, let the kingdom of God be manifest among us in ways that we haven't seen yet. New miracles of grace. People flooding into the kingdom whose lives are being opened by the gospel. People being set free, being delivered from demonic harassment in their lives. I thank you that it's all ours through the blood and the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm praying right now, Lord, I pray a blessing over each one in this room. I bind every spirit behind obligation and stagnation and unbelief in the name of Jesus. That this would be a year, Lord, where you propel people out into the deep. And they go, and because they have, they get to see the might of your power, and it changes everything. Lord, we've tasted, and it's only made us hungry for more. So help us to push away from the table for a little while so we can hunger more for what you have. And we will give you the glory, and we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do, Lord, all by faith. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone agreed with this prayer. Said, amen. Come on, give God praise for what he's going to do, guys. He's got a catch for you. You guys have a great week. Come on back. Invite some other people into this. Hey, even seekers. They hear it when God's calling people out into the deep, all right? If you need prayer for anything, it's a great time during our fasting and prayer time. Come down to the altar and let some people stand with you, okay? God bless you all. Those of you watching online, so glad you're with us again today on the first Sunday of 2019. Happy New Year to you guys. And you know, I want you to think, as you're going through this fasting time with us, let the Lord talk to you about what he would have you do. I just really believe if you've been influenced by the ministry that's going on in here, you are strategic in the kingdom of God where he's placed you. Why not think about inviting some other people to join you on the journey? And let's see what God will do this year together. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next week.